I wonder if you recognize these words. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go. Does anybody recognize it yet? Where everybody knows your name and always glad you came. You want to be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. These are the words of the famous TV show Cheers. And I won't sing it, however. A lot of you are maybe singing it in your head. And it's a show based on one character, Sam Malone, who runs a pub in Boston. And he has this group of regulars who come in, and they just love to come to their home away from home and to hang out with their friends. And series after series was made on this show. And the lyrics to the show are somewhat true as we continue on in our series in Proverbs, ancient words for a contemporary world. And the first line talks about making your way in the world takes everything you've got. And what we've already seen through our series on Proverbs is that life in this world is tough and that we need a little guidance along the way to help us navigate our way through the maze of life, to live wisely in the world in which we live in. And one of the key aspects of making our way wisely through the world is friendship. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening, a guide to friendship. Now, you'll be glad to hear it isn't Keith's guide to friendship. That wouldn't be very good. It's a guide from Solomon and the other writers of Proverbs of friendship. And from our very early days, we are friends with other toddlers. Whenever we go to primary school, we have a little friend in their class. And then if we join an after schools club or a sports club, we have friends there. And then we go on to secondary school and we have another group of friends there. And maybe a little less friendly with those from primary school. And then we maybe get a job or we go to university and we have another group of friends there. And so this cycle continues through each era of life that we are living in, either picking up or leaving friends. And these friends are really good companions for the stage of life that we are at, and they help us along the way. And we here at Hamilton recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It is from God. And this week I've realized once more that all of the friends I've had along life have been great gifts from God at various stages. And I'm sure you're able to identify key friends that you have had at various stages in your life that you want to thank God for. And you maybe even want to tell them that you are thankful for that. And Proverbs has a lot to tell us about friendship. And we're going to look at three areas. And we're going to see our desire for friendship, our decisions about friendship, and our development of friendships. It sounds quite self-help. It really isn't. And on another hand, it really is. But what is friendship? One commentator said that friendship in some degree is a necessity of a man's life. A perfectly solitary being whose feelings cling to no one and around whom no one clings is truly lost. Another has said that no man is an island. And then C.S. Lewis, the author of Narnia, has said that friendship is born of that moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." And you then journey together in that common interest. Friendship is a sharing of affection and commitment. It's a companion or a neighbor. And the word friend and neighbor in the Bible are somewhat interchangeable. It's the same Hebrew word on a lot of occasions. And the term can range from a casual acquaintance to one to whom we share a really intimate bond. And while the average Facebook user has 338 friends, Roy here has a lot more friends. He's a recent sign-up and he's a lot of friends. The book of Proverbs uses this word friendship to describe a lot more than just a casual acquaintance. It is one of support, it is one of counsel, it is one of love, it is one of rebuke, and it is one of commitment. And we will see as we read Proverbs and also have a look at the rest of the Bible, it encourages not only to have good friends, it also encourages to be a good friend as well. And there's a whole load of examples of friendship in the Bible as well, and the benefits that they bring. David and Jonathan, probably the famous one, who were friends through very difficult times, and they kicked off in an instant. Ruth and Naomi had a friendship that Ruth would go wherever Naomi went. Jesus had friends when he was on earth. He was friends with the inner three. He was friends with the 12. And he was also a friend of sinners. Paul had friends and co-workers as well. And we even see that God himself uses the word friend whenever he describes his relationship with Abraham and with Moses. Friendship is an underlying theme right throughout Scripture, and yet there's not a lot written on it, as I found out last week. So let's have a look at our desire for friendships. And our desire for friendship really comes that we are created in the image of God. This underlying reality that we read in Genesis 1 and 2, part of the fact that we are made in God's image is that we desire to be in relationship with others. God was in perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he did not create humans as he wanted to have more friends. God was perfectly satisfied eternally in the relationship he had with himself. And whenever he created Adam in his image, Adam was able to have an incredible friendship with God, free from sin. And we read that God walked with Adam in the garden. A clear illustration of friendship. But even with this relationship with God, God still said it wasn't good for man to be alone. And he created Eve for a relationship with Adam, and on this occasion to become his wife. But it wasn't good for man to be alone. And we don't like to be alone. And we weren't made to be alone either. And God doesn't want us to be alone. Ralph Waldo Emerson, on his famous essay on friendship, says, God evidently does not intend for all of us to be rich or powerful or great, but he does intend all of us to be a friend. So it's maybe helpful as we consider the whole topic of friendship just to think about some of the friendships that we have had. And there's many categories that we've had, and I've tried to summarize them into two. One is social friendships, and these are friendships that we have a shared love of the same interest, or somebody who you potentially work with, or you have the same education with, or somebody that you can use for mutual advantage in the world. Social friendships, a shared pursuit of pleasure. And then I think there is also another level. There are spiritual friendships as well. And as well as those characteristics of a social friendship, I think there's also a mutual commitment to Jesus Christ. And both types of these friendships are good to have. I've got some great friends who I've played sport with over the years, or who I went to regions with, and I thank God for them. Not all of them have been Christians, yet some of them have been really great friends through really hard times. And I would classify them as social friendships. And they're great friendships, don't get me wrong at all. They're great friends. And while these are friends that I do talk about faith with, and I listen to where they are coming from as well, there's just not the same connection on a spiritual level. And the spiritual paths that we are taking are totally different. Although I hope that they will change. Spiritual friendships are friendships that we're walking along the same spiritual path. We're walking along the narrow way of following Christ. And I believe we can share on an even deeper level what's really going on with our soul. What we really think about life and death and the afterlife, and to encourage and to pray for each other on a deeper level. And one of the challenges for us this evening, and the challenge I've had in the last week, as we consider our relationships with each other, is do we have social friendships and do we have spiritual friendships? I was challenged as I thought, and I wonder, are a lot of our social friendships within these four walls here at Hamilton Road? And do we really not have that many real spiritual friendships? Have we got social friendships with folks outside of these four walls that when push came to shove, they would really classify us as their friends, or we'd class them as our friends? And hopefully as we take a closer look at Proverbs, we're going to gain a lot of encouragement to develop spiritual friendships and to develop social friendships as well with those outside these four walls. So secondly, we'll then go on to our decisions about friendships. And quite often social friendships develop quite naturally. Whenever I went to secondary school, I naturally became friends with those who played rugby as well, and friends I have today. And I became friends with the guy who I had to sit with in first year, simply as our surnames were quite similar, McIlwain and McCrory. So we sat in the same class and we became friends. But I also think that we then need to make a few decisions about friendships as well. And Proverbs, I believe, gives us great guidance here. And Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." Proverbs 22:24-25 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." Proverbs 12:26 says, "A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads him astray." And Benjamin Franklin summed these up well. He says, "Be slow in choosing a friend, even slower in changing." And friendship is really one of the only relationships in life that we choose. And the advice from the Proverbs should be heeded. Sadly, we don't get to choose our family. And we often don't get to choose our work colleagues or who our neighbours are. But we do get to choose our friends. And we have the choice of who we spend our free time with. And we have the choice of who do we spend our deepest thoughts and or share our deepest thoughts and emotions with. And Proverbs here that we have read another shows that there's broadly two options with friends. One that will help us to grow in wisdom, and one that will cause us to suffer harm. One that will help us to choose what to do right, and others that will encourage us to do wrong. One that will encourage us in our faith, and one that will discourage us in our faith. And growing up, my parents often ask two questions: where are you going, and who are you going with? And the second question was really the only one they were interested in, as they realized that who I was hanging around with had a major influence on my life. And while it's probably good that they didn't know everywhere I went, even with those that they thought would be good friends, or everything that I got up to, even with those that they thought were good friends, they knew that I would become like my friends. And it's quite worrying as I'm involved in some youth work. You can actually watch it happen. Suddenly friends start to wear all the same clothes. Suddenly friends start to say all the same things. Suddenly friends play all the same games. Suddenly friends say the same things, or even sound quite like each other as well. And even start to do their hair the same way. Friends do become like their friends, and we become like our friends. So the decisions that we make about friendships are crucial. And Proverbs 13:20 here says that he who walks with the wise will grow wise. And I was given really good advice once to try to be friends with those who are smarter or wiser than you are. And this wasn't hard as I was growing up, as there was a lot who were smarter and wiser than I. And it helped that university, where having smarter friends enabled me to get through university, where I really wasn't sure what I was learning. And it's the same in life as well. Friends who are wiser than we are good to be around us, as we will see and we will hear some of their wisdom, and we'll hopefully pick some of that up. And those are some of the friends that we should be seeking out. And the second half of Proverbs 13:20 says that a companion of fools suffers harm. And into the New Testament as well, Paul warns the Corinthians that bad company corrupts good character. So what are some of the characteristics of bad company that we should be watching out for that could corrupt us as we try to make our way through the maze of life? People who are bitter, people who gossip, people who are self-obsessed, people who continually get drunk, people who are critical, and people who are negative. And there's a whole range of things that you could say for bad company, and we all need to be careful, as soon we will start to think the way that they think as well. And while it's good that we can encourage others and to share Christ with others often, it's a warning that even with the best intentions of going into a friendship, that we can be overpowered and corrupted. And it's a real issue in relationships as well. As we seek out a boy or a girlfriend, it's really crucial to choose wisely and to choose somebody who will encourage you in faith, who is walking the same spiritual road that you are. So as a fellow Christian that you can walk along with and find encouragement from. And as we are making decisions about friendships, it's then good to be deliberate about our friendships. And sometimes friendships just happen so quickly. And others, it can take a lot of work. And it can take time and it can take effort. And while we can often wait for others to be deliberate with us, surely the impetus is on each of us to be deliberate. And we could do that as we invite somebody round for coffee, as we invite somebody out to do something socially, as we just don't wait for them to ask us, but as we take the initiative and are deliberate. And in church life as well, the closest friendships seem to form, as I see it, as we serve alongside others in various ministries and organizations. I see the youth leaders on Friday having great friendships as they serve alongside each other in that spiritual way. So as an encouragement, if you are maybe feeling isolated in church life, as you maybe are looking around thinking, I don't really know that many people here that well, can I encourage you to think about getting involved in an area of church life where you believe God has gifted you in. And it can be a great way to get to know others and be delivered about friendships. And then, thirdly, we're going to look at the development of friendships as well. Aristotle said, the desire for friendship comes quickly, friendship doesn't. And we've already highlighted some of that this evening. So a key question for us is, how do we develop some of these friendships? And I think it's fair to say that we can't have real deep spiritual friendships with everybody that we have on our Facebook as our friends, or even in a church the size of Hamilton Road. We just can't have real spiritual friendship with everybody on a deep level. So how can we develop the four or five really good friendships that can help us to navigate our way through life? Somebody said, if you can count your friends on one hand, you are blessed. And I think that is true. And the best way to have good friends is to be a good friend. And we cannot control how others respond to us. We can control how we respond to others. So I have a little acronym for us, and that's F-R-I-E-N-D-S. And I'm sure you're all worried, thinking, that's seven letters, so he has at least another 7 points, although they're all quite quick. And the first one is F, and that is faithful. And Proverbs 27:6 say, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Sometimes we need our friends, if they're going to be faithful to us, and if we are faithful to them, we need to be honest with them, even whenever it hurts. And sometimes it can hurt. Whenever we are making some of our big decisions in life, it's a good idea to ask trusted friends what they think and to allow them to be honest and faithful about the impact that they see it having. Maybe you're going for a promotion at work, or you're thinking about a new house or a new purchase. Friends can be really helpful in this area and warn us of some of the effects that they may have on us spiritually. Often, whenever somebody falls into a moral failure in or outside the church or walks away from the church, there's one common ingredient. And that common ingredient is he or she has no true friends, no close friends, nobody who was faithful to them and honest with them before things went too far to turn the clock back. And in a world that tempts us daily with money, sex, and power, we need friends to be faithful and honest to us and have the freedom to speak into our lives. And we can't hold each other at arm's length. So we need to be faithful. Secondly, reliable. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And then also in Proverbs 18:24 it says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And there's no point just having friends when other times are good. Yes, it's great to enjoy good times with friends, but what about whenever times are tough? And over the last 3 Sundays here at Hamilton Road in our series on depression, anxiety, and grief, are we there for people who are going through each of these three emotions? Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, even in the hard times. And think of the friendship of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament. You will remember that Jonathan's father Saul was trying to kill David, and yet Jonathan was loyal to David all the way through. He was a reliable friend. So even whenever a friend messes up, even whenever a friend hurts us, even whenever we have to forgive a friend, hopefully we will be seen as reliable and stick by them. Thirdly, an influencer. And Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And good friendship will always involve us sharpening each other and influencing each other's lives. And it's maybe through accountability, through encouraging each other, or just to go deeper in our walk together, but talking about spiritual things in our lives. And we can sharpen each other as we bring our thoughts together. Friendship is always two-way. And to be a good friend, it will require you allowing others to be a friend to you and to receive some of their sharpening and their counsel. We cannot do friendship on our own or on our own terms. And E, encourager. So as we travel through the maze of life with all its winding roads, we're going to need some encouragement along the way. And there will be times whenever we and our friends will feel like giving up. There will be times when another perspective will be needed. And as the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And Paul then reemphasizes this in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And as we read the whole of the New Testament, we'll see that there's over 100 one another's for the New Testament church, demonstrating how we should relate to one another. This may take the form of joining a home group with one another and to talk with one another and pray with one another and encourage one another there. It may take the form of sign up for a prayer triplet here, where you can pray and encourage and share in a smaller group with close friends there. It may take form of having a conversation with somebody after a church service on a Sunday. And in all of these encouragements, I think it's crucial that we move our friendships from social friendships to spiritual friendships. And there's some really easy questions you can ask. So what did you think of the sermon? Don't ask anybody that after this evening. What are the spiritual encouragements in your life? And what are you struggling with in your life currently? And as we ask some of these questions, they could unlock some really good spiritual friendships. Paul wants us as friends to be encouragers of one another and to create that habit of encouraging others. And people around want to be friends with encouragers, as they will always then go away encouraged for what life is throwing at them. So if we are an encourager, it will be a blessing to others. N is for never gossip. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. And one way to quite easily find yourself without any friends is to be a gossip. Nobody wants to really share what's going on with them if they know that you're just going to go and tell it to somebody else right away. Or if you are known for stirring and winding things up in friendships in the wrong way, it's not going to be conducive to good friendships. And in the church, there's a potential that we could be quite good at gossiping. And Proverbs 18:21 warns us that the tongue either has the power of life or death. For life or death. And we should be controlling our tongues and what we say, and indeed how we say it, as it can quite easily ruin a friendship when a throwaway comment to somebody else about somebody or about what you're thinking. It's good to be controlling of what we are saying. And good question to ask, is it true, is it kind, and is it helpful? And if it's all of those things, you can probably talk to their heart's content. Next is delightful. And Proverbs 27:14 says, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Nobody wants to have a friend or a neighbor who is loudly doing anything in the morning. And a friend should really be a delightful thing, something that we look forward to spending time with and to talking to and to being with. And the question is, are we being a delight to others? And if you are, they will always want to be around you. And being a delight isn't always on the other end of the phone or always calling around or always demanding of others time. But it's choosing wisely when to call. And it is developing that friendship in a delightful way. And we seen even in the examples earlier that the crowds wanted to be around Jesus, as I believe he was delightful in his words and in how he treated others. And then S is sacrificial. And we have already looked at sacrificial love earlier as we celebrated communion together. But then let's look again at John 15:12. It says, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus is really the ultimate example of friendship for any of us to follow. And we see this ultimate act of friendship. Laying down your life for your friends. And many throughout history have done this on the battlefields and in conflicts and in conflict zones, showing that they are willing to sacrifice their very life for their friends. And then our friendships with one another here, we should be sacrificial. And that could be sacrificial with our time, with our money, and with our preferences. Developing friendships will require us to be sacrificial of a quiet night in and asking others around, or going out with others, sacrificing time and money. But it will then be a joy as that friendship develops. Some of that sacrifice may include staying a little bit longer after a church service and talking to somebody and asking some key questions to them, or just to be there for them. It may require opening your home to people who are quite new here at Hamelin Road for Sunday lunch. I'm always free for Sunday lunches as well, so I would love to call around. But it's a sacrifice, isn't it, of having others around. It may involve the sacrifice of coming to some of the social events that are held here at Hamelin Road, even if they're not your idea of a great night out. And then we can also be sacrificial with our friendships with those outside of the church as well, to develop those friendships with those that don't know Christ. It may involve joining a local club. It may involve going to a work social function. It may begin to know your neighbours. And again, this will be sacrificial, and again, it will involve time and money. But as we continue to look outwards here at Hamelin Road, we all need to have friends beyond these four walls who we long to share Christ with. As we run Christianity Explore courses, those that come on them are a friend with somebody who asks them. The way we will evangelize the world is one friend telling another friend where to find Christ. And as we close, as we think about the greatest friend us all. As we think about the greatest sacrifice of all, we want to think about Christ. And as we see what he has sacrificed his life for ours, we see that he sacrificed that eternal friendship with God the Father and Holy Spirit as he was separated on the cross so that we can then have friendship with God. This is a friendship that we don't deserve. It's in a friendship that is initiated by God, and we are recipients of all the benefits. This is a friendship where God is faithful, reliable, an influencer, an encourager, delightful, and sacrificial. Hopefully tonight you know Jesus as your friend. You are friends with God. And hopefully that friendship with God will encourage you to be that friend to others around you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the friends that we have in life. And Father, we thank you ultimately for the friend we have in Jesus. And how that powers us to be friends with others. And Father, I pray that as we go into the week ahead that you would show us how to be a good friend to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.